So there is somewhere a chapter before Genesis 1.
Yeah. We're in a chapter that's before Genesis 1. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking. Right? Because the foundation of the world, we get that in chapter 1. See what you learn now? We are going to learn this week something that was hidden from the eyes of man. Something that, should I say, the Old Testament believers were not really acquainted with it. How many of you guys heard of the Manhattan Project? Okay, good. The Manhattan Project was a project where a group of scientists and high-ranking government official got together to do the A-bomb, the atomic bomb. It was top secret. Very few people in the country knew about it. Some were privileged to know about that. What are we going to talk about today is something even greater than the Manhattan Project. John yesterday asked that question. When he looked at the outline, he said, I didn't know what a title to put on this outline. You know, they are really, you know, what we are going to study is just wonderful. And he thought maybe we should call them the purpose of God. And I thought, how about if we call what we're going to study this week, Chuck, if that's okay with you, a divine project. So we have the Manhattan Project. We have a divine project. Because the way Chuck put it, if you look at the outlines, he have a purpose, platform, price, promise. I think his typewriter is stuck on the letter B. Everything started with B somehow. Profession, position, and prospect. So this is a project here. When you have a project, you have a purpose, a scope, a project manager. How is that project is going to come to pass? This is what we do. You set the goal, the purpose, the people that are going to be working in it, how it's going to be accomplished. And this project, by the way, is a turnkey project, and we will get to that. This is what we are going to talk about. So the blueprint that was hidden before Genesis 1, in the very heart of eternity, in the very counsel of God, before he created the world or he brought it into existence. This is what we're going to talk about this week. So, everyone should have, these are classified material we're talking about. You need to have clearance to go and to look into these things. How do you get those clearance? I think that's what Chuck was talking about. When you are called by the gospel, you get saved. And when you get saved, you realize that, wait a second, you read Ephesians 1. You read Romans and you realize that, man, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, and I confess him with my mouth, and I'm saved. That's what the scripture said. And then you go and you read Ephesians, and he said, wait a second, he chose me before the world began. And now because you have clearance, you are in the confidence now. You are with this very special group called Christians. And you have an open window. You could go and look into the heart of God, into the mind of God, with our little eyes, with our little brain. And yet we could see in there what God had purposed before the world began. It's a tremendous study that we're going to have. We're going to enjoy it. Don't fall asleep on me. Get your notebook, get your pens, and stay alert, and just pay attention to what we are saying. We're going to learn a lot, and we're going to enjoy it. It's a wonderful project. We're going to see what God had in mind, the divine project, where Christ in the end, everything will be headed up in Christ.
Maybe somebody can help us out with the thought of purpose and will. Do we work along these lines every day? How many are going to college? Was that just kind of written down that you were going to do this? Who made that decision? Who?
We did.
Okay, well, you may say my parents did, but really, it's you. What you amount to as far as a profession or a goal in this life is, I'm going to tell you really, it's going to depend on what you put into it, not what your parents put into it. Your parents can probably put money into it. But if you're successful at what you do, You will be one who has had a vision at some time in your life. You have had thoughts of what you wanted to accomplish. You have had dreams of what you want to become. And you have somehow in life, as you've gone through school, as you've gotten older, you begin to lay things in line as to how you can come to this purpose that you have planned. And someday, I hope you reach it. I've always taught my kids, if you aim at nothing, you will probably get it. Something to remember, just a little practical word. Well, it's a wonderful thing to think that the God that we belong to is also one who purposed these things. He purposed, Emil has said, back before the world that we look at and we think of the world, we think of the oldest thing that we know, and we're back before it. We're before it ever existed. And we find that God's will and purpose was to center all of this universe around His own Son. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this matter, that God is going to do that regardless of men. This isn't dependent upon you being faithful in the meeting that you go to or me being faithful. If I'm not faithful, I will suffer. You will suffer. The local assembly will suffer. But these purposes are God's purposes that are going to be accomplished come what may. My son Pat was mentioning to me a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this. We often have a very small view of God's world. Sometimes we confine it to the United States of America and Canada. We've got a very dim picture. We need to set a globe before us and to see that God's purposes take in all that belong to Him as we go around that globe. And as you go in your mind's eye to Revelation, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, there are going to be those that are included in these purposes that our God has. And I think of what Emil has said. He has said to you and I at Grove City in 2008, I want you to know exactly what I'm going to do. I want to set it before you, and I've given the Spirit of God to dwell within you that you might know. These are my purposes that are going to take place. Otherwise, you get looking at things in this world, and we get distracted at wars and famine and all things that are happening. It says that we should be, he says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. That isn't just something that He's wishing for. It's what should be true of us as individuals living for God here. Holiness. And, he says, without blame before Him in love.
I was just thinking of the verse in John 15. The Lord would tell His disciples that you have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you. But right before that, He tells them that He's no longer calling them servants, because the servant doesn't know what the master is going to do, but He has called them friends. And because the friend knows what the master is going to do, and all things that the Father has shown him, He's showing to His disciples. And I thought of that just in the context of even His disciples couldn't fully understand or have these things shared with them. But to us, who by grace divine have been called to know these things, as Brother Chuck has said, that He will work all these things so that His Son will be glorified, that He will move heaven and earth and set aside every other person on this planet so that His Son could be the supreme one. And He has chosen us to be able to share these things so that we might know that it might impact the way we live here today. And that gets to the thought of being holy. So we're not just His servants, though that's a wonderful position to take, just being the servant of the of the king. But the Lord Jesus goes, condescends even farther and says, I'm going to call you friends, because a friend can share with one another the plans that they have to do. And here the Lord is revealing to us, and God is revealing the plans that he has for you and I, and how we come into that. Yes, it's all centered around his son, but we will reign with him. And we're going to get into that, how the plan includes you and me, and it's all by grace divine. So I just want to mention that he calls us not servants, but he condescends even farther and shares with us all his plans, and it's all by his own grace.